It's exciting.
So a couple of things we're just going to take note of, and then there's a lesson today. Anyhow, as usual, we continue with our tradition of talking about the Tanakh in this testament. And John 19:24 says, "So they said this to each other, 'Let's not tear it, instead let's throw dice to see who gets it.'" You know, this was the Roman soldiers talking about Yeshua's garment. "And this was to fulfill what the scripture says, 'They divided my clothes amongst them, and for my clothing they threw dice.' So that is what the soldiers did." And that's from Psalm 22, where it says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." And of course, here we see a prophecy, another one, coming to pass about Yeshua as the Messiah. And you know, and when you stop and think about that, because you know what, it's kind of interesting, as we read our scriptures, we see things happen really quickly even. You know, like for example, we see like Joseph thrown in prison. And then, you know, next thing he's got a dream. And the next thing you know, he's being released from jail. And now he's second command. But we don't stop to realize how many years there are between verses, between passages of scripture that takes place. You know, the same thing here. Oh yeah, we just turn to Psalm and then we just turn over. It only takes us 2 minutes to turn from Psalms over to John, right? No. Tehillim, the Psalms, were written hundreds of years, thousands of years before Yeshua Jesus came to the earth. And then we've got that beautiful document called the Septuagint. Yes, Greek can be a good thing. This was the 70 Hebrew, you know, the 70 Jews who understood Greek, who translated the Tanakh into Greek for Ptolemy, because he was a Hebrewphile. He was obsessed with Hebrew culture. So we've got hundreds and hundreds of copies of the Septuagint, this Greek document, that are dated hundreds of years before Yeshua Jesus was even born, proving that this was legitimate prophecy. It's archaeologically provable. And we see these things happen. And it just kind of tells us, hey, these things are all part of God's plan. We read more in chapter 19 of John. These things happen. None of his bones will be broken. In addition, another passage of scripture says they will look upon the one whom they pierced. That's from Psalm 34. You know, he keeps his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Zechariah 12. I will pour out on my house in David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they will look upon me whom they have pierced. And they mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. And they will weep bitterly over him like the weeping over a firstborn. Once again, we see another prophecy fulfilled. So many times the doubters come up to me and say, well, there's mistranslations in the Bible. And I always say politely and kindly, well, really? Could you show me one? Because if what I believe isn't true, I would want to know. Because when it comes to eternity, I don't want to mess around and end up in the wrong place forever and ever and ever and ever. And guess what? As the years have gone by, many skeptics have looked at the scriptures with the intent of disproving them. And when they use intellectual honesty and make this pursuit, they always end up becoming believers in the Messiah. Two that come to mind recently in history, Josh McDowell, who read that book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Also, Lee Strobel, who wrote the book, The Case for the Christ. You know, he's like, who's he? He's the guy who was a legal reporter who cracked the case about the Ford Pinto back in the 70s. And so with that, his wife became a believer. He wanted to prove it wrong because he liked the parties. He liked the social interaction. He didn't want his wife to be one of these Jesus freaks, so he set out to prove it wrong. And he interviewed a bunch of authorities about if anything in the Bible is really true and it happened. He became a believer as a result. Well, that sounds like the Word of God to me, you know. If you seek me, you will find me. Hello. And so that's why we have these prophecies here. So it's important to remember that this isn't just a turn of the page, but we see thousands of years of difference between when these things were written and when these things took place, proving that the Messiah, Yeshua, is God and our Savior. Amen. So Jewish customs, and there's two things that I want to talk about. Is you know, John 19, we see that we got the trial of Yeshua, and the Jewish leaders were before Pilate, and they said, "We have a law, and according to the law, the man must die because he himself has made himself out to be the Son of God." Well, what are they referring to? Leviticus 24, it says, "Moreover, the one who blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation, or assembly, or church, depending upon your translation, right?" shall certainly stone him. The alien as well as the native, who when he blasphemes the name, he shall be put to death. So once we here we have, because of Jewish custom, once more we have, because Yeshua claimed that he was God, here is his claim, we see the response of the religious leaders. No, he's not! Crucify him! Kill him! Because they did not, they weren't convinced that he was God for whatever reason. But he is God. And then things get even worse. And so Pilate, you know, we see about, 22 verses later or so, I'm sorry, about 14 or 15 verses later, he writes an inscription and put it on the cross, and it read, Yeshua from Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many Jews read the inscription because the place where Yeshua was crucified was near the city. It was written in three languages, Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. Then the Jewish high priest told Pilate, don't write the King of the Jews, but that this fellow said, I am the King of the Jews. And of course, Pilate replied, what I have written, I have written. So, a little side note here. Notice he didn't write it in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek, but he wrote it in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. More proof that the New Testament was written with the Hebrew mindset, not an Aramaic borrowing language. Yeah. People try to use that as kind of this distraction. Well, Jesus didn't speak Hebrew. Yeah, he did. He read it in the synagogue. He learned it when he was three, when he went to yeshiva. Yeah, duh. So, that's just a little side distraction debate that's really best to avoid and just say, you know what? The Bible says it was in Hebrew. And really, what's the important thing? Yeshua, Jesus is God. Let's talk about more important things. Amen? And here is something that I know, because when we understand that it said Yeshua Nazareth, the Nazarite, King of the Jews. When you write that out in Hebrew, it says Yeshua HaNazri VeMelech HaYehudim. And for those of you who understand Hebrew, Yeshua starts with a Yud, right? Right? HaNatzri, with a He. VeMelech, starts with a Vav. HaYehudim, starts with a He. Yud He, Vav He. It spells out the sacred name of God. And so Pilate wrote that out in an acrostic, and the Jews, who were all into the Germanica and the numerology and acrostics mean things, they saw that, and that was Pilate slap in the face saying, boom, I don't agree with you. And isn't it very interesting that once we see, once again, encoded in Scripture, God's name is written on the cross, where God died for you and God died for me. We have to remember that. Yeah. Because it's proof that he is God. So that's kind of the Jewish, if I can do this for you, Diane, the Jewish perspective. There she goes. Amen. Baruch Hashem. But now we come to the last chapter in the book of John. And I've entitled this Lessons in Love. And what's going on here, of course, we read that from the scripture of what's taking place. Fishermen, the apostle says, hey, let's just go back to fishing. And Yeshua met them where they were at and said, come, have breakfast. Remember, food is fellowship, right? Yeah. And the whole point of what Yeshua did for our salvation was so that we could have fellowship with Him, so that we could have fellowship with God. Yeah. And so, He loves us so much that He did this, and He does all these things, right? So that He can bring to us, to a place in our lives, where we recognize His eternal love. That's why He calls us and says, come, fellowship with me. Experience the eternal love. And of course, we understand God's love. There's this group out there that teaches that, the people that God chooses are going and the people that God doesn't aren't. Because, God hated Esau is what they always use as their excuse. And I immediately turn over to 2 Peter 3 where it says, Hashem is not slow about His promise as some people understand slowness, but is being patient with you. He does not want anyone to perish, but wants everyone to come to repentance. That's what He wants. And I'm sick and tired of hearing this, well, you know, God knows the ones who's going to be saved, so I'm just going to sit on my butt and do nothing. Get off your butt and get out there and do what God wants you to do and quit using the teachings of some man to replace the teachings of God. Knock it off. Yeah, and that's important. Because God loves everyone and He doesn't want anyone to miss out upon eternal fellowship with Him. He doesn't want anyone to miss it. Yeah. And so that's why He went to where they were at and made them breakfast. Hey, come. I don't want you to miss out. And of course, that chapter goes on to continue. When they had finished breakfast, Yeshua said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said, yes, Adonai, you know that I love you. And Yeshua told him, feed my lambs. So first of all, some of your translations might say Simon, son of John. That is a complete mistranslation. You will not get the irony of what Yeshua is saying here. He's saying Simon, son of Jonah. Yeshua here is making a point to compare the actions of Peter when he denied him to the actions of Jonah, who took off and went the opposite direction of what God wanted. So he's like, Peter... little Jonah, son of Jonah, keeping up traditions of doing the opposite of what I want. Do you love me? Yeah. And really, you know, think of Jonah. Didn't he deny the love of Yeshua by his words, by his deeds, and by his lifestyle? You know, I love that Veggie Tale where, you know, Jonah's going around singing the songs, you know, put four tassels on your cloak. Yeah, he was a Jew, of course. And he says, hey, I want you to go that way. And Jonah's like, oh, no, I'm going that way. And then finally, when God did get him to where he went to go, I don't think Jonah was really excited in his message of repentance. I think his words were, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And then when they did repent, his deeds, you know, he just got, you know, he threw a temper tantrum because he wanted God to release wrath upon these Assyrians because they had killed, I'm sure, many of his friends. But yet they got saved instead. And he was upset about that. But guess what? That was part of God's plans for Jonah to be there. Just like it was part of God's plan for Peter to not deny Yeshua. But he used this as a teachable moment. And when we look at the translation of love, Yeshua says, and it says here in the Greek, agapas me. Do you love me with the unconditional love of God? And how does Peter respond? He responds, philose, which means, I love you with brotherly love. And so, you know, we see here this challenge, you know, God saying, hey, prove that you won't deny me again by feeding my sheep. And of course, with what? What are we supposed to feed the sheep with? Deuteronomy 8 says, He humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you understand, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What is this talking about? Is this talking about giving out bread? Well, sometimes that's a way to get a meal. Amen? But really, we are to feed them with the words that come out of the mouth of God. Remember, it's not the rabbi's opinion that matters. It's God's opinion that matters. Yeah. And that's what we're supposed to do, is to feed them these things. And of course, you know, I think of the lesson in love here. After a person changes their life from the denial of Yeshua to becoming one of His children, they are instructed to grow, learn, and with godly love, feed others the Word of God in word and in deed. I mean, that's a love lesson right there. Hey, God loves you. He loves you so much that, well, I don't see God. Yeah, well, He sent me. I'm His messenger. Here's His word. We've got a huge love letter, right? Most popular book in the world. Yeah, we have His love letter. And of course, we see moving on the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said, yes, Adonai, you know that I love you. And he says, take care of my sheep. And you know, it's interesting. You know, so he uses that word, son of Jonah, again. And I think of kind of a teaching illustration here. The best teachers, and Dave will tell you this with all his education and his learning, that the best teachers will repeat something 3 or 4 times to drive those point home. And I've always have taught over the years, if God says something, the Word of God is important. But if it's really important, He says it twice. And if it's really, really important, He says it multiple times. So Yeshua, Jesus here is driving home the point. Hey, let's drive this denial out of you. You're going to be Bar Jonah? And He says, hey, do you love me? Agapas me. And Peter responded, philose, I love you with brotherly love. And of course, the charge that Yeshua has here is like, oh, hey, prove that you won't deny me again by what? He says, take care of my sheep this time. First He said, feed my sheep. The next He said, take care of my sheep. So, prove that you're not going to deny me. Prove that you're a true believer when your faith is loud. You know, you show people your faith by how you're living your lifestyle. Take care of other people. And that's a lesson, right? Hey, God, where were you? Well, hey, I sent that brother or that sister over to help you out. You know, it's so neat. Crystal and I, I must say, we are really seeing the hand of God move. It's been kind of tight for us right now. You know, Crystal had that month off work that she has every year. And woohoo, you know, good times. I love having her home, but we hate not getting the paycheck. And so it's like, okay, God, you're going to see us through. And we had multiple people show up and say, hey, God says you needed this. Here you go. Here's a bag of groceries. God says you needed that, you know. And between everybody showing up and some other blessings, we're barbecuing this weekend. Baruch Hashem, you know. Praise God. But my brothers and sisters showed God's love to me by just showing up and saying, hey, you know what? Chicken's on sale. It wasn't much. It's only $5. Who cares? But that's a big deal because $5 showed a lot of love. Amen? Amen, yeah. And so that's the lesson in love. The third thing here is that each and every one of us is charged with taking care of Yeshua's sheep. How? There's a couple of ways. 1 Timothy 4 says, until I arrive, concentrate on the public reading of Scripture, on exhorting and on teaching, and do not neglect the gift that is in you, which has been given to you through prophecy, accompanied by the laying on of the elders' hands. We are to use our gifts for the collective benefit of the assembly of God. That's why each one of us has a different gift. You know, and I think of people going, yeah, you know, I've got all the gifts of the Spirit. I'm like, oh, so you're a complete body? You're a one-man assembly? I don't think so. What, is your ego so big that when you're by yourself, two or more are gathered? Wow. Because really, remember, in order to have all things in common, we have to share our gifts, right? You notice it, you know, and one thing I've noticed it as I floated around in some, you know, I've been to all sorts of places. I've been every place from charismatic circles to fundamentalist circles to, oh, you guys are a cult, come on, let's get saved, you know, come back into the kingdom. And all these things, you know, one of the things that always fascinates me is the person who can speak in tongues and then give their own interpretation. That's not of God. Because what does He say? You know, if it truly is of God, there's going to be somebody speaking in tongues and there's going to be somebody else to interpret. And really the point is not, you know, hey, let's see how many tongues you can speak in, but really the point is speaking prophecy. And what's prophecy? The Word of God. Right? That's what our focus should be. So, and don't get me wrong, I know that there's many of you here who speak in tongues and some of you in here who don't. That's a different gift. You know, some have that gift of tongues, some have that gift of prophecy, some have that gift of setting up chairs. And just because you have one gift doesn't make you more or less important. Because think about it, if you didn't have any toes, how hard would it be to walk? Exactly. You know, if you didn't have a toenail, man, those nerves would be hurting, right? I'm just a toenail. Well, Baruch Hashem, because toenails are important, because God gave us toenails. Yeah. And so we need to remember that. That's one of the ways is using our gifts is how we take care of others. The other, of course, is, you know, James 2 says, suppose a brother or sister does not have any clothes or daily food, and one of you tells them, go in peace, stay warm, and eat heartily. If you do not provide their bodily needs, what good does it do? Now this doesn't say, hey, you know, look how spiritual I am. I'm just throwing out all this food to all the homeless people. And I'm not discounting what Jericho House does, because they're using food to get people in. But really, where does it start? We start with taking care of our brothers and sisters, right? Because the ministry that God has called Pastor Phil to is outreach ministry, which is showing love outside the body. But I know this, if I ever had a need and said, hey, brother, I'm hungry, I know who would be at my door pretty quick, and that would be Pastor Phil. And that's not just because he lives a mile down the road from me, but I know his heart. He just wants to serve where he can. Amen? And we should all have that same mindset. Yeah. Let's just all help each other out. Because guess what? How do you think that's going to entice those lost out in the world to come in? And you don't know how many times I've heard testimonies, and even part of my testimony is hypocrisy within the assemblies. People saying things, people having these agendas, people thinking they're better than this, that, or the other. Or they're saying the Word of God, but they're not following the Word of God. Yeah, hey, do as I say, not as I do. Oh yeah, that's the ultimatum of hypocrisy right there. But when we say, hey, you know what? Let's love each other. Then the world's going to be like, oh, what's so different about that place? You know, it's not because they have, like, you know, nice stained glass windows in here. That is kind of a cool TV, but it's going to fall on the rabbi's head one day. Now, Brooke, I've seen Dave crawl across this. This ain't falling. Yeah. No, it's not the building. It's not the peripherals. It's not all of that. It's because the love of God is active in this community, and brothers and sisters are praying for each other. Brothers and sisters are helping each other out. Brothers and sisters see each other in need and say, "Hey, you know what? Come on." I loved it this morning. You know, where I had a couple of people say, "Hey, you know what, Rabbi? Even before this thing gets started, give me some prayer. I need some healing." Baruch Hashem, because that's what we're here for, right? You know, we're a spiritual service station, which means, and we're full service. We're not self-serve. We are full service here. You need your windows clean. With God's help, we're going to clean your windows. Yeah. Tire pressure getting a little bit low. We're going to help you out. Feeling a little bit of drained? Dave's got 440 jumper cables over there. We'll light anybody up in this place. But more importantly, we've got the Holy Spirit. And we don't need any of that other stuff, because it's the Holy Spirit that does all the work. We're just the attendants at the station. We hear the ding ding. How many of you guys remember the ding ding way back in the day? Yeah. It's like everybody over 40 raises their hand. Yeah. And we show up and, yeah, we're getting service. But that's what this is. Because we're all God's attendants, attending to one another's needs as God has directed us and gifted us. Amen? Amen. Now, one thing we need to be aware of, that we need to also have godly discernment. And this was a side point that God really put upon my heart. Is that, of course, we show godly love by helping meet the needs of other believers. But remember this, the highest form of tzedakah is not giving a handout to a person. The highest form of tzedakah is doing whatever you can so a person can find a job and work with dignity. Because showing up with their handout really is undignified. That's why when the people, you know, I think of Ruth and Boaz, she followed behind and gleaned. She didn't just show up at the granary and say, give me some food, but she did some work so that she could be met with dignity. And 2 Thessalonians says, while you were here, we gave you this order. If anyone doesn't want to work, he shouldn't eat. Yeah. And so, you know, or first and foremost, if brothers and sisters are working, they're going to their 9-to-5 and all of that, and they're doing whatever they can, and they just can't make it for the month, then they're first priority. But if somebody's just like, oh, I'm just, you know, what are you doing with your day? Nothing. Watching talk shows, reality shows, Judge Judy's coming on. Oh, wait, hold on, I'm getting a text message, you know. Yeah, God, it's like, oh no. If you're not willing to work, if you're not willing to do your part, then, you know, they're the lowest priority. Because really, think about serving the kingdom of God. What lesson does this visualize and teach us? That those who are willing to serve and to help others, God will be willing to help them. those who are willing to work and do whatever it takes. Hey, you know, you're right. I don't have a job, but I need some help. Hey, how about this? I'll just come over and cut your lawn for a loaf of bread. That sounds like a fair trade. Because they're willing to do something. But when the beggars show up with the hands out going, hey, you know, I know you got some money, come on. God says you're supposed to give. I hate when the politicians always quote, you know, Jesus and say, Jesus said that we're supposed to help our fellow man, so, you know, give us all your money. And I always say to these people, well, you first and show me your tax return. Because it's always the people who want us to give our money don't give any of their money of their own, so... Yeah, but that's what's going on, you know, with as far as what God's concerned, those who want to do something, those who are serving, those who are active, we need to make sure that they're taken care of. And if they're not willing to work. So we've got to have that discernment. And it doesn't take that long. Well, how do we know these things? Well, God's Word says if anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask, and He gives it generously. God, give me wisdom here. What's going on with this brother and sister? And usually, how do we find out what's going on with them? We talk to them, right? Because I know people that are working here, and I've seen it many times. We know the people that are working here, and when there's a need, most of the time they're too embarrassed to even ask for it. And God says, hey, God said you need a chicken, here you go. And that's how God works, and that's amazing. So let's look at the third time here. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And of course, Peter was deeply hurt, right? You know everything, you know that I love you. And Yeshua told him once again, feed my sheep. And then say, hey, you know what? When it gets to the end of your life, it's going to, you know, you're going to be persecuted for my name's sake. But regardless of all that in the future, and whatever trials and tribulations are going to come your way, keep following me, is what he says. So, you know, it's interesting. We have three times. Simon, son of Jonah. Three times Yeshua asked this. Three times Peter denied Yeshua, right? Yeah. And of course, this time, Yeshua changed how he asked his question. It wasn't agapome. He asked phileisme, which means, do you love me as one brother? Do you love me as a partner? And Peter said phileose. I love you with that brotherly love. See how Yeshua came down to his level to show Peter love. And think about it. You know, I think that Yeshua did this to say, hey, I'm not going to lord it over you that I have forgiven you. But because you are co-heirs with me. That's what God's Word says, right? We're co-heirs with the Messiah. Because you are co-heirs, I'm going to forgive you and not lord it over you. And what a great example for us that when we forgive somebody, we don't keep on bringing it up. We don't keep on lording it over them. We don't keep on pushing them down with it. But we love them on the same playing field and on the same level of love, right? Because we always want people to forgive us unconditionally, don't we? But isn't it a little bit harder to forgive somebody else unconditionally? I can forgive, but I don't have to forget. Yeah, I know trust has to be earned. I understand that. But that doesn't mean, you know, as soon as the person you're seeing that, oh, hey, the behavior is consistent, it was just a slip up. We're not supposed to keep on putting them down. Right? And after there's full restoration. That's kind of exciting, a little plug note here. Speaking of forgiveness, just a reminder, in September, we've got a lot of the High Holy Days coming up. And one of the things I like about Yom Kippur is the process of tashlit, where we take a stone and throw it into a body of water because it represents us as we forgive others. And that stone goes into that body of water, we're not going to see it anymore. That offense, we're not going to see anymore. And that's the same way God forgives us, right? We need to remember that. Yeah. And of course, what was the charge here of Yeshua? Prove that you won't deny me again by feeding my sheep and leading by example. Let's no longer just speak the words and be done with it. But let's actually, come on, let's be Missourians here. Show me, don't tell me. I'm so tired, and I don't know what's up with this generation, but they just seem they can say anything they want and it makes it okay. They're out there textbooking and facing, was it You Face Twitter, whatever it's called. They're out there doing these, yo, look at this video, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. You know, One of my friends who's a retired fire chaplain, and he was, you know, moving to New Mexico because God's called him to help out at a camp, a camp of believers out there, and, you know, whole great thing what God's doing. And so he shows up here out in New Mexico, and you know, the kids out there, you know, he's an outdoorsman. He's a total mountain man. I mean, he's the guy who's got, you know, the deer heads hanging on the wall, and he can tell you when and where he shot them and how good they tasted. Yeah, I mean, that's the type of guy he is. And so he's a gun collector, and he likes to go shooting and all of that. And he goes, you'd be amazed. These kids show up and say, oh yeah, well, I shot this type of gun. Blah, blah, blah. Well, that's pretty impressive. How was the kick? I don't know. That controller almost fell out of my hand on the video game. You didn't shoot the gun. You played a stupid game. And then he had one other kid. Yeah, I could shoot that. So he said, show me. Don't tell me. And the kids, yeah, okay, come on over. Let's go. I'll take you where I go shooting. And he set his target out 300 yards, and the kid only missed by about this much several times. Wow, you really do shoot. Oh, yeah, my dad's I'm part of the Forest Service, a federal Forest Service, and we do a lot of hunting. And also, I shot competitively in high school. He knows what he's talking about. He didn't notice. He didn't just, like, say his accolades first. Hey, this is all the stuff that I can do, because guess what? You know, don't tell what you can do. Show what you can do. You know, don't talk about it. Show what you can do. And that's the same thing with God. God doesn't want us to talk to Him going, yeah, God, I can do all these great things for you. No. Feed my sheep, follow me, and lead by example. Well, how do I lead by example? By following the Messiah. Follow Him. And then others will follow you following Him. And then what you can do is you can say, come on, catch up. Come on, catch up. Okay, no longer follow me. But let's follow Yeshua together. And that's when we have true fellowship. Because fellowship is walking in unison, right? Walking in partnership, serving God together. That's what true fellowship is all about. So the final lesson in love here, it wasn't until the last challenge that Peter understood that as a result of godly love, we need to be of service to God using unconditional love as the driving force of how we minister. And you know what? It's hard. You know, we feed the sheep with the Word of God and lead by example. And sometimes showing unconditional love. Remember, you know, Yeshua Jesus didn't call us to be doormats. Well, I got to show unconditional love, so I got to let people walk all over me. No, wrong. Sometimes we have to show unconditional love by doing the tough thing. Hey, you know what? I prayed about it, and God says I can't. And then, of course, all the guilt always comes out, and all the accusations, and I'm like, Hazel's cracking up because she's been through this many times before. Yeah, and all the stuff starts flying. It's just like, oh, really? So if you're going to say those things, obviously you weren't partnered with the things of Messiah. You were just here to get something. Because really, when we feed the sheep like God wants us to, we're not out to get, we're out to give. Amen? So let's not out-get each other. Let's out-give each other. Amen? Amen. So here are the four challenges in love. First of all, Yeshua wants to fellowship with everyone. We have to remember that. Secondly, Yeshua wants us to prove our love by feeding His sheep. Not our opinion, but by His Word, right? Yeshua wants us to prove our love by taking care of each other here in the body of the Messiah. And Yeshua also, fourthly, wants us to prove our love by leading by example and not playing the hypocrite. You know, no wonder a lot of these houses of worship today are not growing. Because the young people, Richard's age, they're showing up. And you know what? Kids, I'll say the word kids, and that's because I'm old. But those under 30-year-olds, I tell you. They're pretty quick at spotting fakes, you know? Because even though they can talk the smack and all of that, they understand what their generation's about. It's all about who can out-BS each other. And then, really, the proof is not when you hold up the controller, but the proof is when you get out there and you take the shot. They get it. And they see too many people holding the controller, so they don't want to be a part of it. That's why I truly believe that the ministry that God has called us to is going to break down these barriers. because, you know, no hypocrisy here. Even the rabbi, even the rabbi. And trust me, you know, Dave, have you not told me sometimes when I needed to do things better? Yeah. Exactly. He's got the spiritual gift to prod with his finger. It's great. But you know what? That's important because I need that. You need that. We need that. Because we're all in this together. And when we remember that we are all in this together, and we're just going to do our part, you know what? Things are really going to start humming, and we're going to see more of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see more of the moving of God. You know, I remember one of the places where I used to work, my boss had a sign up in his office. It says, "Those who are rowing the boat usually don't have time to rock it." That makes sense, doesn't it? Because when you're concentrating on going forward, you don't have all this drama that you want to start with in the boat. And guess what? We need to row the boat to the places where God tells us to go. Because we've got a schedule to keep, God's schedule, of reaching our hand out and grabbing people. Because guess what? There's a lot of seats on this boat. There's a lot of seats here. And God is willing that none should perish. Yeah. Think of the displacement on that ship. It's huge. It's huge. And so He doesn't want us to get lost in the ship. He wants us out there, right on the water's edge, rowing the boat and pulling people in. Rowing the boat and pulling people in. And of course, when we're not rowing the boat and not doing what God wants us to do, aren't we, in essence, denying the Messiah just like Yeshua did? Yeah. A couple of ways that we deny Yeshua. How about the sin of silence? When we refuse to speak or refuse to act the way that God wants us to act. We don't live out the Word of God, right? That disobedience. Those actions get involved. Or how about us caring less about the well-being of others? Hey, I got my fire insurance. Those two words, got my. You know, that's totally different. I mean, what did the Apostle Paul write? If I could go to hell so that my brothers in Israel could live, I would gladly do it. Talk about the love of Messiah. Right? Yeah. So let's not deny the Messiah by being silent. Let's not deny the Messiah by not living out loud the Word of God. And let's not deny the Messiah by how we respond to our brothers and sisters. But you don't understand, Rabbi. I'm busy. Well, guess what? When you make time for God, He'll make time for you. It's true. It is very, very true. And so, let's just kind of take a moment to reflect. And I'm just going to ask, it's, you know, everyone just kind of...